Hello, teachers. Ben Jennings here. We're on session number 10. It covers Deuteronomy 12, 1 through 11, and then 29 through 32. This particular passage is in a similar context to all of the passages that we've done in Deuteronomy, or at least the other one that we did, where Moses is given kind of final instructions to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land. And this particular lesson basically calls out what they need to do to rightly worship and follow God when they go into the promised land. We see that every believer can give God their undivided devotion, their undivided worship, as it were, by faithfully taking these three actions. So we got three actions that he's telling them to do that will help them be faithful and fully devoted to God. The first one is to remove idolatry. When they were going to go in the land, this is something that came up in Numbers. It's a theme. They were supposed to go into this promised land. There were inhabitants, translated in the King James. It actually is akin to people who were squatting, you know, in their land. They were staying in their land. They were using their stuff. And he says, essentially, there's all kinds of idolatry, evidences of idolatry, and actions of idolatry. And he says, when you go in, you got to get rid of all of that. It's your job to go in and remove not only the inhabitants, but remove all the evidence of what the inhabitants had been doing. So he says in verse 1, these are the statutes, the judgments, this is Deuteronomy 12, 1 to 7. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord thy God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days of the day that ye live upon the earth. Here's where you hear about their removing. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods. Is that pretty clear? Utterly destroy means when you go in and there's a place where they were worshiping false gods, that place needs to be utterly destroyed. Upon the high mountains, upon the hills, upon the every green tree, it says in verse 2, verse 3, and ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. Ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. So he's saying, when you go in, you're looking for every evidence of idolatry, every evidence of their worship of false gods, and you destroy it utterly. All the rest of those descriptions are descriptions of what it looked like to utterly destroy those things, to the point that the name of those places even like doesn't resound. Essentially, if there's any identifying markers of those gods, you take those down, but also you're wanting the land, the people that are there, to forget the false gods. But he says that's not how you do what you do for the Lord your God, right? Really kind of interesting in the curriculum. They include verses 5 through 7 in this first point. But I think this imagery of, because he goes on and says, worship God in the next point. But interestingly, like there's this almost like ideal of remodeling. You can't do what you're supposed to do until you stop the doing of what you're not supposed to do. Meaning like if you want to install new kitchen cabinetry, you have to take the old out before you can put the new in. And so he says that that's essentially what's going on here. You take out the old stuff, and now once you go in, verse 5, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shall thou come, and thither shall ye bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstling of your herds and of your flocks, all these different ways of worshiping God. Verse 7, and ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. So the first action they had to do was to get rid of the idolatry and the evidence of idolatry so that they could properly worship God. And that's what we see them doing in verse 8, the second action, worshiping God. Really, you could go 5 to 11. We can talk about 8 to 11 too. He says, ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day. So now he's saying, you know, they're on this side of Jordan. They weren't quite into the promised land yet. And he's telling them, you're not going to do it like you do now. You're going to do it more intentionally. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. That's how it goes now. Everybody's doing whatever they want to do. We're going to not do that anymore. Here's what we're going to do. Verse 9, for you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance, which the Lord your God giveth thee. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God hath given you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be the place which the Lord God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall you bring all that I command you, and burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offering of your hand, and all the choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. He's saying, once you get in there, there's going to be a specific place that you're bringing that. Later, we know that they brought all those things to the temple. But he's saying that's what's going to be like then. You got to worship the Lord in the way that he wants to be worshipped once you get into the land. And then he goes, and then he gives them basically a warning or another action to do that really is something that kind of alludes to what they should do in the long term. When you get in there, get rid of the idols and worship God the way he tells you to do it. And then he's basically saying, stand firm. This is action number 3, stand firm. Look out for the temptation you're going to have to backtrack, essentially. He says, verse 29, when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. There you go. He's saying, be careful not to backtrack. Be careful not to go after their ways, after that they be destroyed from before thee, verse 30, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. There you go, right there. He's saying, the way that they serve their pagan gods is an abomination to me, God says. Even down to child sacrifice, it says in verse 31, their sons and daughters have they burnt in the fire to their gods. He says, don't do that. Verse 32, whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. Basically saying, stand firm. Don't even try to investigate the way that they've worshiped their gods. They're not worshiping their gods the right way. They're not doing the right thing. I think there's an application here for us in the modern day. Obviously, we're not going into a promised land. Obviously, there's not a bunch of pagan idols that we need to tear down in terms of other people's property. What we do need to do is make sure that we don't have idolatry in our lives. Is there something that is in our life that needs to be torn down? Is there something that we're worshiping that we ought not to be worshiping? Something that's getting attention that should go to God and it's going to something else. We need to get rid of it. We need to worship God and not those things that distract us. And then we need to stand firm knowing that there are things that are going to draw us back towards idolatry and worshiping something other than God the way that we ought to. And we need to not do that. We need to be obedient to what God says. That's a daily decision. It's not just a one-time decision. It's a daily decision. It's something that we do every day. And as we consecrate ourselves before the Lord and his word and in prayer, he begins to we begin to obey him the way he deserves, the way he wants. I hope this lesson helped you. I hope this little short video gets you thinking about how to apply this to your class this week. Have a great day.